Hello, everybody. This is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin. On a very cold morning in Madison, I was planning on doing this outside, but, well, there's a bit of frost on the pumpkin, and we thought we'd stay inside today. I have in my hand M-Audio's MicroTrack recorder. I wanted to spend some time today going through that recorder. I'm not using it at the moment. I've got it here in my hand to describe it. And we'll be using a lot of different microphones with it and a lot of different things so that you can get some idea of the quality of its sound. Larry has mentioned this before on his podcast, and I believe he talked about it being a very small unit, which it is. This is about the size of a deck of cards. Actually, one way to give you a better idea about size is to compare it to the bookport. It is shorter than the bookport, thinner than the bookport, and narrower than the bookport, and it doesn't weigh as much. Little bit wider than a stack of cards, but not much. Imagine holding the bookport up so that the buttons are facing you, and the number one button is in the upper left. That's the way we're orienting this recorder. This is what I'm calling the front of the recorder, where the buttons are on the bookport and where the display is on the unit. On the recorder, there's about an inch of blank space from the top of the recorder down to the display. The only button on that space is over to the left, and that's the power button. It's the on and the off button. You hold it in for a second or so, and it powers up. So below that button, and taking up the whole width of the front of the unit, is the display. And below the display is probably a couple inches, if not 2.5 inches, of space on which there are buttons. There are 4 different buttons, and they're not buttons as we know them. They're sort of long and skinny, like you should be able to press on one end of them and then press on the other end of them, and that's exactly what you can do to some of them. The first 2 on the left are the up and down volume controls, the left one being the left channel and the right one being the right channel. Now, you can link these together so that when you're turning one of them up, the other one turns along with it, so you can keep your stereo signal straight. The third button on the unit, third button to the right, is the playback volume, which operates both the headphone volume and the line-out volume. By the way, please pardon my scratchy throat. I've got a bit of an allergy and I've been taking a lot of awful stuff which dries my nose and my mouth out and everything else. So bear with me if you don't mind. So that's that playback button, volume button, is about the same shape as the others. It's not quite as long, but again, there's a top and a bottom. And there's, on all of these, there's a dot on the top of the button. To the right of that button, and the last button on the front of this machine, is the record button. Again, it's a long button, not as long as any of the others, but long enough to be able to get your thumb on it easily, and it has a nice click when you press it. I hope I'm on hold. Which makes it nice, because now you know it's in record. Well, we'll get to that later. On the top of the unit are 1, 2, 3, 4 jacks, again facing the unit with the screen in front of me. On the left top is the microphone input, the 1/8-inch mini input, which is powered, so you can use headphone mics like the Altec Lansing 302 that's been used on one of Larry's podcasts. Next to that are 2 1/4-inch plugs. Now, they make a big deal in the manual about not calling them 1/4-inch plugs. Well, they do, but they put some other name in front of them. So I wondered what I was going to get. It's just your ordinary average 1/4-inch plug. If you have a large set of stereo phones without the real small plug that you use to go into the bookport, chances are you have a 1/4-inch plug. It's one of those big guys. One for right channel, or actually one for left channel on the left, and one for the right one is the right channel. Beyond that is the headphone jack. So that's all we have on the top of the unit. On the left side of the unit, there are several buttons. The first that you'll come to is a menu button, which is doesn't stick out very far, but it's big enough to get your thumb on, and you press it in to get into the menus. Below that button is the hold button. It's a sliding switch, and it's easy for me to remember because if I'm holding the recorder in its upright position, up is on hold, everything is held, and down is off. So it's like a light switch. Up is on, and anytime you press a button with the hold button on, nothing happens. Except I think it says hold on or something like that. Below that is another similar sliding button, this time a three-position button. You can choose between mic, let's see, how does this work? You can choose between mic high, mic low, and line in. And on the bottom, going down the left side, is another similar button, which is phantom power on and phantom power off. And once again, on is at the top and off is at the bottom. On the right-hand side of the recorder, at almost near the top, is a wheel. That's what they refer to it as in the manual. It's really not a wheel, because when you press it down toward the bottom of the machine, it stops and then springs back into position. And when you press it up toward the top of the machine, same thing happens. It's basically a joystick that has imposed on it a sort of half circle. So you actually feel like it's a wheel, but it doesn't keep turning. It goes one click and springs back and goes one click and springs back. If you'd put a joystick on it, it would work exactly like that, except it can only go in two directions. It only goes up and down and in. This is how you operate the menus or get to the menus and play your files that you have on the recorder. And we'll talk more about that again later. The only other thing on the side of the recorder is the flashcard slot. And they've done a really nice thing with the flashcard slot. Instead of having it stick out like it does in the book port, the card goes all the way in, even actually further than the side of the card slot. And you'd think, how the heck am I going to get this out? Well, there's a nice little spring-loaded thing on the bottom, which, when you press the card in, this spring-like thing is sticking out. But you can actually flip it up so that it is also recessed. And so there's no danger of knocking the card out. Now, getting the little tab that you press to get the card out again is interesting. But if you've got good fingernails, you can do it. So imagine something below the card, almost at the bottom of the machine, that is sort of the same flushness with the card, but there's a little break in it between the card. And if you stick your fingernail in there, you can pull it out, and it flips out, and it's sticking straight out, and you press on that, and it ejects the card just a little bit so you can grab hold of it. And on the bottom of the unit are the output jacks. A left and right line out, which are RCA jacks, the kind that you would find in most amplifiers, and a digital output jack further to the right. Now, let's walk through some of the menus, and I'm not going to go through all of them because I don't know them all. And that's one of the problems of this recorder. When you power it up, you hold down on the power button for a couple seconds and you let it go. And nothing happens, although something is happening. It says booting firmware, and unfortunately it says this for 15 or 20 seconds. So that's not a problem in terms of waiting for time, but it does not change audibly when it finishes booting up, because it's not booting up anything you can hear, it's booting up a flashcard. The other problem is that, unlike a lot of recorders, once it's on and you're listening through headphones, you hear the microphones come on, if you've got them plugged in. On this one, the only way you hear the mics come on is when you press record. So you don't know that they're ready to come on, and you really can't monitor the sound all that well to see if you're distorted or not and change the volumes accordingly until you've started recording. So you just have to do that in the first part of your of your recording, or you leave them where you think you like them and they will stay there. Now, the other problem with this unit is that when it does come on, you are in the menus. So the first thing you do after you think it's booted up is you press the menu button. And again, there's no sound, but you hope that you're back on the screen now that has the volumes and the meters, and you're ready to record. And then you press record, which is, as you remember, the fourth button on the right on the front bottom of the machine, or the bottom toward the Anyway, it's one of those four buttons down there near the bottom of the screen. It's the one on the right. And you press it, and if you've got headphones plugged in, all of a sudden you hear, hey, I've got sound. Now, many people have asked, how does this recorder compare with something like a mini-disc recorder in terms of quality of mic preamps, etc.? Obviously, one big difference between this and a mini-disc recorder is that this records on a flash card, which you can immediately dump into your recorder, as opposed to a mini-disc, which you have to play in at real time, except some of the newer ones, which I haven't played with, maybe that's another podcast, do allow you to use the mini-disc as a storage drive. And you can hold, it'll hold 1 gigabyte of memory. And you can do basically what you do with this. You can copy the files back, not in real time, but in very short order, to the computer. How does this compare with a mini-disc recorder? Now, out of my mics, I'm going to select one that would be about what one might want to use if one were using a single-point stereo microphone. So what I want to do is make a recording with the Audio-Technica in the Sony mini-disc recorder, and then see what difference we have when we use the same microphone to record into the M-Audio MicroTrack recorder. Here is the mini-disc recorder. And that is exactly what I've done. This is the Audio-Technica 822 stereo microphone. But as you can tell, there's a bit of hiss. Now, this will show up better or worse depending on how good your speakers are. But inexpensive microphones put electronic noise that's in their circuitry onto the recording. They aren't good enough necessarily to be as quiet as the one I was using before. So you begin to hear, especially in quiet situations, what you're hearing in the background. Now, were you in a noisy environment? Were you riding along in the car? Were you out on the street like Larry often is? You'd never hear this. It's only when you get into a really quiet situation that this becomes apparent. All right, now the truth that we've all been waiting for. Let's plug this same microphone into the M-Audio MicroTrack recorder and see what it sounds like. Oh my. Well, not as I had hoped. I have balanced these volumes out so that they are equally loud. So I'm not biasing people by having this one be louder than the other one, and therefore there is more microphone hiss, but there certainly is. Well, now I'm down in my basement using some binaural microphones like Larry has. They're not exactly like the ones he has, but they're from the same place, a different brand of microphones. Mine actually fit like you're wearing glasses. In fact, I am wearing glasses. I can see. No, forget it. And the microphones are in croquis, which actually really do hide them. You'd never know you had them. I'm actually setting up a sound. If Larry can have his sound effects, so can I. Mine will be a little more obvious. His are pretty good. A couple things I want to tell you while I'm doing this that I have forgotten to mention thus far. One of the problems with this recorder is that the menus wrap. Oh, don't you love it when that happens? When you're scrolling through the menus and you get to the top, Well, guess what? You just keep right on going and it scrolls back up again onto the bottom. And it's a real pain. When you power off the recorder, the menus will revert to their normal position. So at least you know that you're in the same starting place you were. However, if, for example, you've gone into the menus and you've chosen quarter-inch mic inputs versus eighth-inch mic inputs, when you get to that menu, it will be on quarter-inch. It'll be on what you defaulted to last. It doesn't default to a same place in the menus. It defaults to wherever you were when you were in there last. Real problem. Another problem, which I'll talk more about later, is that in order to stop recording, you press the record button. Funny thing about that. Now you're in a pickle. Because if you get off, well, I don't have to go any further than that. Talk about that more later. I think I've got my sound rigged up here, almost. One way to test out a set of binaural microphones, I guess, is to have something that is movable. And if I can do what I want to do here, I think we'll have a little bit of magic here. Any clues yet? Maybe that's another podcast. Anyway, model trains have come a long way from where they were when I played with them when I was growing up. I have several engines, different sounding steam engines, different diesel engines that actually have different gears that they'll change into, and there's a guy who goes and records all these sounds of the exact trains digitally, and then ships them off to Lionel, and they put them in their trains, and you have a remote control, and you can operate lights and bells and whistles and all kinds of stuff. All right, is there anything else that I need to remember to tell you? Well, I might as well get another engine out while I'm thinking. One of the complicating things they do, and it works reasonably well, is that, as I said earlier, you have a switch that changes from high mic to low mic to line-in. And then you have what's called a 27 dB boost, so that all of a sudden all three of those are 20 dB higher than they were. So there's a lot of adjustment capabilities. One of the things I found is that the higher the output of the microphone, the less noisy it will be. These mics are pretty high. Some of the ones I've used earlier, the Audio-Technica is pretty low output. So the signal-to-noise ratio, i.e. the amount of signal, i.e. me talking, etc., is higher than the noise, i.e. the hiss of the electronics of the microphone and the recorder preamp that you don't notice the hiss as much. Well, I think I'm about ready for another little excursion via railroad. If I can find the right switch to pull, and then we'll be on our way. Ah, yes. Well, let me go now use another microphone, a microphone that I've had for a long time that's pretty quiet, an Electrovoice microphone, and it's basically a speech microphone, and we're going to put it first on the, let me go up the steps here, I'm going to put it first on the micro track and then on the mini disc recorder. There are some possibilities with this recorder. There are some real issues, however. If you're prepared to use headphones every time you record, and you know when it's in record, and you know when it's booted up, etc., etc., then I think you're fine. If you're doing something like Larry and I do, and that is put on your microphones, and you don't really have any headphones, then you might have a problem. Press power, hold it down for long enough, probably a half second or so. Takes maybe 20, 25 seconds to boot. Of course, it isn't making any noise, as I said before. And then you're into menus, and then you press menu button, and you press record, and you hope you're recording. Except there's another problem. I've found my unit to be quite flaky. Sometimes it stops recording even when I haven't pressed stop record. Now you're in a real pickle. You remember the way to stop recording is to press record again. So it's a vicious circle. You do that, after it's popped out of recording, you're obviously back in record again. So you try to turn it off, and it turns off without saving the file properly and gets itself all screwed up. So I don't know whether that's an issue with this unit, or whether just because these things are so new and they haven't had a chance to update all the firmware, there are issues in lots of units. Oh, one other thing I have noticed, I almost forgot, is I noticed, I don't know whether you can hear that slight bit of hum or not, but every once in a while in this recorder, since it's not balanced inputs, you get, depending on whether you're close to machinery or a TV tower or whatever, you get noise. In addition to the hiss, sort of static in the microphone preamps. That's often the case with really inexpensive preamps. So that's another thing to consider. You can certainly learn more about the features that this recorder has by going to soundprofessionals.com. This is a recorder that will do WAV files. It will do MP3 files. So, theoretically, you've got some good quality here. The problem is the mic preamps, among other things. Ah, let there be peace and quiet. I just thought, in summary, I would once again demonstrate the difference between this microtrack recorder and a cheaper mini disc recorder, which is what I'm using now, same microphone. So this is signing off. Again, if you want me to comment on other features, I'd be happy to do so. I'll be doing other recorder podcasts in the future, I suspect. And thank you, Larry, for allowing us to help each other. This is Neil Ewers in Madison, signing off. Oops, don't go away quite yet. I just thought of a few more things I needed to say. First of all, this is being recorded on the microphone that comes with the recorder, the MicroTrack. It's a T-shaped microphone, sticks out to inch or so on both sides, has a little windscreen on each end of the microphone. Not very good for stereo, but it's a pretty good mic for what you would want to do with it. One other thing that people might ask, and I forgot to mention, is this recorder at present retails for about $500. You can get it at Sound Professionals for about $400, $399, etc., which includes the microphone. It operates on compact flash. I currently have a 2-gig flash card in it. I'm sure it will take up to 4 gig, if not more. I haven't really checked to see if they come any bigger than 4 at this point. One of the nice things you can do while you're recording is press in on the jog dial for pause, and the sound goes away, and you know you're in pause. That is if you're listening to headphones, and then when you press it again, it comes back, and you're still in record until you press record. The other thing the jog dial does, and I mean that wheel-like thing that I talked about earlier that's really a joystick, is enable you to go from one track on your file to another. One push up or one push down takes you back or forward. You can hold it down or up, and it'll skim through the audio. At present, there is no audible skim. It's totally quiet, and you just hope you know where you are and let up on the button. But they're supposedly going to fix that in a future update. Two more things before I go. You know, I've been learning this recorder as I've been telling you all about it. So there are things I know today that I didn't know yesterday. It has probably become pretty apparent to most of you by now that the noise of the microphones that you hear depends very much on the microphone you use. Now, that's always the case, because there's some microphones that are better than others. Interestingly enough, for whatever reason, it is not so much the price or the greater fidelity of the mics that do well with this, as much as it is mics that match up with the impedance of its inputs. So, for example, you hear very little noise with this microphone, which is designed for it. You heard very little with the microphones that I used to record the train. And although those microphones weren't designed for it, they were bought at the same place as sort of a possible companion to it. So take the noisy microphones you've heard with a grain of salt and realize that you just have to figure out what works and what doesn't. Well, it's a rather damp day this morning on the front porch in Madison, Wisconsin. It is a day later, and I've spent a day playing around with this recorder, and I have a couple things I think you need to know about. One of which is that for some unknown reason, my recorder occasionally pops itself out of record when it's not supposed to. Now, were I listening through headphones, I would know that, but on a number of occasions, I had binaural mics plugged in, and I thought I was in record. It had obviously popped itself out, so I pressed record to stop, and it obviously went back into record. I then pressed turn off or power off, and the recorder got totally confused and totally did itself in, and I had to reformat the card and all that other sort of good stuff. Now, that could be my unit. Or it could be the fact that it's a brand new product and they just haven't gotten the bugs worked out yet, and the next firmware might solve the problem. I'm certainly going to make them aware of that. I'm going to send this unit back. Whether I get another one, I don't know, because there's another problem with it that I will... It's not a problem, it's just something I don't like. The battery is a lithium-ion battery, and you can recharge it by plugging it into the wall or plugging it into your computer. You can't use the recorder while it's being charged, either through the wall or through the computer, which would be nice if you could. The other problem is that you can't remove the battery. You can't replace it unless you send it back and they replace it for you. I don't know what the charge will be or how often that'll have to happen, but I would much rather find a unit that had some sort of removable battery, even if it was a rechargeable one, that I could go buy and have another spare when I needed it and not have to send it back to get the battery replaced. Well, I think that's about all from here now. I'll let you listen to the rain for a while as I say my goodbyes. Thank you very much, Larry, for allowing us to upload podcasts for people to listen to. And if you want to know more about this unit, go to soundprofessionals.com or ask questions on the podcast list that Larry was kind enough to set up. So, this is Neil Ewers from Madison, Wisconsin, signing off midst thunderstorm.